Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of A&K on the Runway. This is the regular season finale, if you will.
That's a good description.
The last challenge before we go to Fashion Week. So this is the designer's last chance to really show the judges who they are as a designer, really prove themselves worthy of moving on to the season's finale.
Mm-hmm. So we start out this episode, we go straight to the designers sitting by the runway, and Heidi and Tim come out and just, you know, let the designers know again, this is the final challenge. And Tim says that they've been in New York for the entire season. It's time for a change of scenery, which is odd. It's just an odd
for
thing
sure.
to happen for the final runway show. Because that's what it needs to be about, is putting forth this best look.
Well, I didn't think it was that odd.
The leaving?
I think had they done something really that made sense for fashion. So
sure.
Go to LA.
Go to Paris.
Go to Paris. Go to Milan.
Yeah. No, instead they're like, we're going to send you to Austin and you're going to get inspired by the weirdness of Austin. And it's like, why?
Right.
What does that have to do with anything? And so it turns out the only reason they sent them to Austin is so they could do a 10-minute plug for Best Western Hotels. Literally, that felt like all it was. Within the first 10 minutes of this show, they had so many camera views of the hotel rooms, of the Best Western sign, of the pool area, of the breakfast nook. Like, do we really need to spend this much time watching the designers eat waffles?
Right.
So I'm upset at this point. I really am tired of all these stupid advertising plugs. It's not about the clothes anymore or the designs. In this season, at least, it is all about how many advertising plugs they can get in the show.
Yeah. Yes, the first 10 minutes of the show definitely felt a little wasted.
Yeah.
So the reason that they are sent to Austin, besides to make a Best Western commercial, is because this is going to be an unconventional materials challenge.
Can I get on my soapbox again for another second here?
Go for it.
I am so angry that this is an unconventional materials challenge because this is the third one this season and the second in a row.
Yeah.
Which at this point is just ridiculous because that is good for once in the season to push the boundaries of creativity. But this is your final challenge to make your final plea to go to New York Fashion Week. And they're doing unconventional materials?
Right.
Like, no one in the real world is making collections and making clothes or high fashion looks out of unconventional materials.
Exactly. Like, you shouldn't have to prove you're worthy of going to Fashion Week by using dog leashes and
by using stuff
vinyl records the best.
They had time to shop at Georgetown's Farm Supply and Stubbs Barbecue. And it was very bizarre. Because in past seasons, it's been about the designs and they're supposed to create a high fashion look. So I'm not knocking the challenge of creativity in this sense. I'm knocking the sort of, are they taking themselves seriously at this point? Because another show that we enjoy watching, Top Chef, really sets up this transition of prestigeness for the alums of that show. And this show just does not have that. And I get it's two different worlds. And a lot of the chefs that come on Top Chef have already worked in like very prestigious kitchens and restaurants.
Yes.
And some of the contestants on Project Runway are just out of design school or they're trying to break in.
Yeah.
So it is the different levels, but it's a little frustrating that in this season, the show isn't really interested in being high fashion, I guess.
Yeah. It never seems like they really did anything that would say to me that this person can definitely design really, mm-hmm. really well. You know, we got one cocktail dress, you know, we got one cocktail dress challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest just seemed like kind of novelty challenges, you know, unconventional material mm-hmm. challenges, a swimwear yeah. challenge, blacklight challenge,
mm-hmm.
You know, things like that, to where I feel like we never got to know the designer's identity because they were always put in these boxes.
Yeah, so I am glad that in New York Fashion Week, you create your collection with whatever you want to do. There's no limitations, and so that is exciting. I'm curious, just from a looking forward sort of standpoint with the show, where they decide to take it. Are they going to be gimmicky with, you know, ARP challenges or Alexis challenges or whatever? Or are they going to try to maybe go back to their roots a little bit? And really what needs to take place is the prize should be like an apprenticeship with a fashion house. And maybe fashion houses don't want that. But you like do an apprenticeship with Michael Kors. He used to be a judge on this show.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to, it's not a job necessarily. It's just getting your foot in the door, which I think is a little bit more valuable than a Brother's sewing collection.
For sure.
So, okay, off my soapbox. Little upset with the parameters of the challenge, but what are we going to do about it? We'll just keep talking.
Right. By the way, just to hammer home the the tie to Best Western, the winner of this challenge is going to get 50 free nights at Best Western. So,
yeah.
Hooray. So, as the designers are picking out their materials at both places, you're seeing kind of what they want to do with each thing. I was afraid Aaron was going to be taking this get weird thing a little too seriously.
She was very excited about it.
Right. The stuff that she was grabbing and the mindset that she had, this really seemed to play into Aaron's penchant for over-designing.
Yeah.
For just letting her brain go and not knowing where to shut it off and where to stop her ideas at.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we mentioned, the designers do have $500 to purchase these unconventional materials, and they have 2 days to complete this look.
Right.
And Cornelius is, so, you know, as they're shopping, we see people gravitate towards maybe kind of their usual things. So Rick and Laurence get horse reins. Horse reins,
yeah.
And leashes and rope and things like that. So they're kind of going with that lane. Cornelius has no idea. He says that he's just going to get a bunch of materials and let them speak to him.
So we get some looks at where the designers are going with their outfits. Robbery kind of has this weird personal touch to his dress. He says that when he feels nervous, when he feels anxious, he ties knots in things.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this time, when he is one step away from New York Fashion Week, he's obviously feeling very nervous and very anxious. So he decides to put that into his dress. He grabbed a lot of twine and a lot of rope at the Georgetown Farm Supply. And so he just starts tying knots and making a material and making a textile out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's essentially going to be his dress, is a dress made out of twine with a bunch of knots tied into it.
Yeah, so he's already, I think from day one, he's already pressed for time.
Yes.
With this, because he realizes how time consuming it is to create knots. Laurence is using birdseed to create this sort of pattern on her dress. So she is making a conscious decision to step outside her comfort zone, particularly after her critique from the judges from last week. Cornelius is very unsure. Throughout day one, he does not have a clear vision, it seems like, of where he's going.
Yeah, there's a lot of shots of him just kind of sitting at his workstation and, like, staring at the table.
Yeah, just contemplating the different materials. He starts spray painting a lot of things. He got a lot of dog treats at the Georgetown Farm Supply. Tried to spray paint them into a pattern and just quickly abandoned that idea. So he's pretty lost. Aaron, my favorite part of this episode was Aaron's just pure happiness at being weird for picking mealworms for one of her materials. And she just loved talking about the mealworms. And she spray painted them in gold. Mm-hmm. And she used guitar picks from the barbecue place and made flowers, and then used the gold mealworms as the stamen?
Wherever the pollen is.
Yeah, wherever the pollen of the flower, the middle part of the flower. I can't remember exactly what it's called. And there was a talking head interview with her, and she's like, I love these flowers. I don't know what garment I'm putting them on, but I just love these flowers. And I thought that's just representative of her design aesthetic and mentality and how she chooses to do her work. She just hones in on one detail and then's like, oh, I'll figure out what it goes on later.
But she does it like every single week where it's like, time. I want to do this embroidery thing. I'm going to spend the entire first day on that.
Yeah.
And then see what happens after that.
And I do have to say, on day one, I am really concerned about Rick's look. He's using reins and leashes, dog leashes, and it is looking a little dominatrix to me.
Yeah. He also has cut up some vinyl records into little shards, and he was going to place that on his dress as well. I thought it was starting to look dangerously close to his blacklight challenge dress.
Yes.
Which was by far his worst look of the season, mm-hmm. and one that he almost went home for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little surprised that he's going back to something that resembles that so closely.
Right. So we start off day two with a visit from Tim. And Tim comes in and tells the designers that, you know, this is the last challenge. We really need to push ourselves. So we're adding another dimension to this challenge. And the designers will have to create a second look that has to correspond with the unconventional materials look. But the second look will be made out of conventional materials. And they're going to go to Mood right then. They got $200 to spend. And I have to say, again, as a viewer, I'm a little disappointed with this twist. It seems like very unnecessary at this point in the competition. Why not focus on one really amazing look and show who you are and what your aesthetic is and why you need to go to New York Fashion Week? Why are they kind of pushing the boundaries of time? Because this is already probably, I'd say, mid-morning of day two.
Right. I thought it was almost unfair to everybody, because if you planned your first look with the thought you're going to have two full days to mm-hmm. complete it, and then you get thrown this in there, they got to go to Mood. They still got to get all the materials. You're losing a lot of work time for this look,
mm-hmm.
and you still have to design and construct another look.
With five designers left, what are we getting out of this challenge? Yeah. That's my frustration is it doesn't feel like, I don't know who came up with this, Heidi and Tim as executive producers, I don't know. It doesn't seem to correspond with what's on the line. This is like a 10 designers left sort of thing.
Sure.
So everyone's really worried about time. While we're at Mood, Laurence is really sticking to her goal to mix it up and push her comfort zone. Erin's like, you know, I'm going full on weird. She gets a crazy pattern. And soon after the Mood shopping trip, we have the Tim Gunn critiques. So right after we get back from Mood, we have the Tim Gunn critiques. Tim starts with Erin And Tim is concerned with the unconventional materials look because Aaron is, like we had said, really focused on these flowers. And there's not much of a garment that it's going on. And he says, you know, really, this conventional material look will be fine. Just focus on making sure that it's not just this board that you're just putting these applique flowers
right,
on.
Right. Rick is next. And Tim thought that his unconventional materials look is very ambitious. But contrasting to that, his conventional material dress that he had constructed was very, very basic. Mm-hmm. And he thought it just doesn't cut it. He really needed to ramp it up to make that conventional materials dress stand out.
Yeah, he called it country bumpkin.
Yeah.
Tim talks with Laurence next, and Tim thinks that her looks have the potential to be very fabulous, but he's worried about time. He doesn't want the muslin showing in her unconventional materials dress, so he really stresses to her to really push it and to get as much done as possible.
Yes. The same can definitely be said for Robbery, who mm-hmm. is who we move on to next. That was Tim's basically only point for his critique for Robbery was that, is there going to be enough time to get this look together? As you can imagine, with a dress that's made completely out of twine with knots in it, there isn't a whole lot of coverage. So he was worried that, is this model going to be walking down the runway more or less exposed everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
So he really stresses to Robbery that he needs to get to work to finish both of these looks.
Yes. The last critique is with Cornelius, and Tim feels that he needs to amp it up with his unconventional materials look. You know, it's just very crafty in a kind of junior high project sort of way. And he said the second look is not going to be the star player because there's not a lot of time. So we need to just finish it well and focus on amping these looks up to be high fashion.
Right. Cornelius is thinking about doing a jumpsuit for his conventional materials look, but he's contemplating doing separates as well. Tim thinks he should do the separates, but definitely needs to focus on the unconventional materials look. He's using cut up plastic cups as flowers to make flowers. Tim thinks there needs to be more of the flowers and just more unconventional materials incorporated in general.
We do see a lot of changes post critique from the designers just based on what Tim has told them and on time. Everyone's very worried about the time issue. And honestly, between the end of day two and the day of the runway show, we don't have anything of note. You know, it's just a crazy push to the finish.
Yeah.
So we get to the runway. We have two guest judges. We have Priyanka Chopra and Georgina Chapman. And I do want to say that for me, I looked up kind of what is the conventional definition of high fashion just to make sure that when I was looking at the looks coming down the runway, just like with Avant-Garde last week, I had a sense of the like vacuum that we're supposed to be in here. So it seems like the agreed upon definition for high fashion is just elegant, luxurious, and expensive clothing. And that's good. Because I sometimes think of high fashion as like evening wear. But I think there's a lot of, you know, cocktail dresses or even separates that can be high fashion when done really well.
Right. And one thing I wanted to note before we get to the runway is that right before the models start coming out, Heidi says that one person is going home. Mm-hmm. So that's the first time that they say for sure that four people are going to Fashion Week.
Yeah.
So we are only going to have one elimination today because last week we said maybe it
right.
could have been two.
It was a little anticlimactic from, you know, last week to this week where she's like, okay, and four people are going.
Right.
So there wasn't much suspense there.
Yeah.
So our first look down the runway is from Erin. So her unconventional look comes first. And Erin has created spaghetti strap, cocktail length dress. And the front top of it is in a bit of a oval shape. And she has made, she made those flowers out of the guitar pick. So that is forms the applique, except in the middle, probably just right around the stomach area. It looks like it's buttons, just...
I think it's like bottle caps.
Oh, bottle caps just turned over. And so that's all just hot glued on. And then she had kind of like a thick bungee cord in a maroon color to act as a waistband. And I honestly don't know what the material...
I think it's a sunshade.
Okay. So the bottom material for the skirt of the dress is just a white sunshade with... she's made kind of wide pleats. And it looks really pretty. The spaghetti strap is also that maroon bungee cord. I think that, you know, at first I wasn't sure how high fashion this is, but looking at it, it is pretty couture with the applique work. It's very clean. The fit is really good and it's colorful. It is very pretty and very artistic. So I think, you know, this is a good start.
Yeah, I thought the design was very cool. I thought she might have gone overboard with the flowers. Mm-hmm. It's kind of uneven.
Yeah, the balance is off.
It looks almost like she was going to fill in the entire thing, and then she ran out of time, so like there's a little bit more on one side of this top than there is on the other.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe if it was a little more balanced, a little more symmetrical, it could have looked a little bit better.
Yeah, I do see what you mean.
I don't see flowers as high fashion, though. It's very juvenile in my mind. I thought the skirt looked really good, though. I thought that was very mm-hmm. high fashion and very polished.
And because it's that sunshade, it has a lot of, like, just natural volume, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then her conventional materials look is a jumpsuit, and the material she chose was, it looks like kind of a gauzy silk, and it's a crazy print. It has pineapples and blue flowers in it, and has shades of pink and red and white and blue. And she, it's very simple. It's a very simple design, but it is a good use of print, and it has kind of a V-neck opening. She's got a tie at the waist and 3/4 length sleeves. To me, it seems a little short. It's an odd length because it's a wide leg pant at the bottom of this jumpsuit. But she styles it well with these strappy red heels. I wouldn't wear this because it totally looks like pajamas to me. It looks like a little kid pajamas. Like if it just had footies, it'd be like something a kind of a crazy kid would wear. But I think that this entire, this little mini collection is enough to get her in.
I wasn't a huge fan of this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the print was really tacky.
Yeah.
It's like a gigantic Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, that's and a good way to describe it, because that could be...
A Hawaiian shirt mm-hmm. isn't high fashion at all. Mm-hmm. It is well constructed for what it is.
Yeah.
But I thought the print was just overboard.
I agree with that. Yeah, this did not have the high fashion feel to it.
Rick's look is the next one down the runway. His unconventional materials dress is very well constructed, and I mean, as usual, he does a great job of using those unconventional materials. Same thing with Rick's, a lot of Rick's look. I wish it wasn't so black.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there is a lot of texture and the different materials catch the light different ways and things like that. But you can't see the construction of it because it's all just black on black on black.
Mm-hmm.
So everything just kind of blends in. It's a good looking dress otherwise.
Yeah, so he At the top, like we said earlier, use these cut-up records to do kind of like a almost a jeweled sort of detail. And then going into the bottom, probably at the waist down, he used dog leashes. It looks just like a bandage skirt, which to me is not high fashion. And then he used these horse reins to create like a crisscross, and then it like went into a curve over the boobs, and that felt dominatrix to me, like very lingerie, you know, dominatrix sort of thing. And then the back was the horse reins down, but you know how horse reins have like a metal
clasp,
a metal clip, like a clasp to hook it onto, you know, what the horse is wearing, the horse harness or whatever. I'm clearly not a horse person, but that was very costumey and a little cheap, I thought, to me. Otherwise, from the front, it looks very cool and very chic, and he used these unconventional materials really well, but there was just certain aspects of it that didn't feel elevated.
Right. And then his conventional materials dress comes down, and I liked it. It's very stylish. It's very chic. I like his use of this material. He used kind of a black and silver kind of sheen tweed material. And he kind of also incorporated some leather throughout it as well, just in little spots, just to kind of rough it up.
He had that bustier underneath and then put the tweed over.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I mean, it looks good. I thought that leather underneath it ties it to his unconventional materials look very well, because it does give it some shine, and to the point to where I thought that was like more vinyl records cut up and put onto the dress.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like the second look. It's really simple design. We don't see Rick really push the boundaries on silhouette at all, and this is no different. It's just so simple and it's so safe. It's not very high fashion to me. Like, if this is supposed to be very elegant and luxurious, this didn't feel it. So I'm a little concerned for Rick after seeing these looks. Laurence is next, and I thought she just created a beautiful look. Her unconventional materials dress is made out of rope, a kind of light brown leather, horse reins, and birdseed, and spray-painted napkins, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. It's kind of hard to describe. So she created like a harness sort of top with the horse reins. And then she used birdseed kind of over the boobs, and then there's dark brown rope going down at the ribs and then into the skirt. She alternated vertical stripes of the birdseed with spray-painted silver of the napkins, and it's like in a pleated way. It's pleated for the skirt. It looks like glitter, so it looks like the birdseed is a gold glitter, and then you have this metallic silver kind of intermixed with that. And it just looks very cool. You know, it would be a very kind of confident woman's holiday, a holiday party dress, maybe.
I didn't like this one as much.
Oh, really?
Which was weird, because the looks that we were getting of it building up to the runway, you know, when she's working on it, I really liked it. I thought it was going to look great. And then when it came out on the runway, something just didn't work for me. It looked too unconventional material to me.
Oh, really?
It didn't look like it moved all that well on the runway. Like, when the model walks down the runway, she looked very stiff. Like, she couldn't really move her arms. And like the bottom especially looked like a bad art project to me.
Oh, really? I thought it looked like glitter.
I guess
glitter is art.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe just knowing what it is and how she made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it very much looks like a bunch of birdseed glued to something.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, that's like a summer camp project.
Sure.
So, I didn't think this played very well on the runway.
Okay. Her second look I didn't love very much. So, you know, she's trying to push the boundaries and get outside her comfort zone. So she picked a mustard yellow jersey knit. And jersey is a really hard fabric to work with. And it just looked lumpy almost. The fabric is a little clingy, and she had these brown leather details. So it's a tank dress right at the knee, and then at the shoulder she had some brown leather, and then in the back she had this very cool detail where she had a cutout kind of at the mid back, and then she had just vertical or diagonal stripes of leather just across the back. You know, it's not my favorite color. It's not my favorite fabric. The back, the detail is really cool. She does that really well where she kind of puts in these cool details.
Mm-hmm.
It's made well overall, and it's kind of a cohesive mini collection. And she pushed herself outside her comfort zone, but I don't think jersey was the best fabric choice here.
See, I actually liked this dress. I thought that it was a great look. The colors complement very well, not just on this dress, but when you take her other dress into consideration as well. I thought the silhouette looked great, and that detail that she put out on the back with that cutout was very, mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool, and definitely takes the dress to a different level. I thought this looked, you know, very high fashion.
Yeah, you just have to have the absolute perfect body to wear a jersey knit. And so it's just a hard fabric. And I think she realized that at the end of, you know, day two when she was working with it. You can tell that maybe that's not something she works with a lot. And especially to have it be a long dress, it's just something that is so clingy, you know, especially on the hips and butt. It's just not forgiving.
Yeah. Robbery's look is next, and his unconventional materials dress, like we said, was to basically just twine with knots. He was tying this twine to microphone cords that he got from Stubbs, and I just didn't get it. I think this could have been a game-changing dress had he had the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what he envisioned and how close this dress that came out is close to that vision, but if he had made a dress made completely out of this twine and knots, and the twine going in different directions and things like that, I think the judges would have been completely bowled over by that.
Mm-hmm.
But this dress, it looks unfinished. It looks kind of costumey. It looks like a castaway dress.
Yeah.
Like if you're stranded on a desert island, you made that to cover yourself up. I will give him credit though for going for it, because this is probably the most ambitious thing we've seen anybody do on this show this season.
Sure. I think that this is more avant-garde than high fashion. He's really pushing the envelope on that. And so to send this out in a high fashion challenge didn't make sense to me. If he had done this as just a top and then created a bottom, that was of a different unconventional material, I think that would have been the better route. Because mm-hmm. there's hardly a bottom. He had to create like a bandage skirt that, and this thing is so short. Like, I don't know how, I mean, it is barely covering her butt and her vagina. And there is literally no back from the waist up. It's just the cord. You know, so I know it was really hard and time consuming, and then he had to make another dress. I like Curtis, did not get this as a look.
As for his conventional materials dress, I really, really liked it.
Really?
Yeah. Something that Aaron said during this quote-unquote anonymous runway show, that's something I've never really understood how they do it when other designers comment directly to designers as looks go down the runway, and this is supposed to be anonymous. Like, yeah. The judges are right there. They see, like, hey, Robery, that looks like that was a great choice there. Oh, well, these two things are Roberies, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But she said that he does a great job of mixing patterns, and I agree with that. He seems to be very good at taking two patterns that look like they shouldn't go together and then somehow making it work to where it looks really good when he puts them together. He also, the different lengths at the bottom of the dress, I thought was definitely a cool look as well. It's very angular. It's not just like a sweep, you know, going from like left to right or something like that, but it's the different fabrics kind of end at one place, the next one ends a little bit higher than that, and then a next one ends a little bit lower than that, so it creates this very uneven finish. The one thing I thought, though, was that sweeping design that he looks, I thought was a little too close to what he made last week,
mm-hmm.
but I think this still looks good.
I hate this. I hate it so much.
Hate it.
Maybe, and I will admit, I'll be the first to admit, I am not adventurous with patterns, but these are, and I don't get it. These are two completely different patterns. So let's describe the patterns. We didn't do that yet. This is a one-shouldered, very short cocktail dress. Coming from the right shoulder down to about the left hip is stripes, is a stripe pattern. It goes white, light blue, black, red, and that's continuing in vertical stripes the way that he has it. Then all the way around the back, so connected at the right shoulder and the entire back, is this probably maybe a teal and brown and a little bit of a dark blue, very similar to a paisley print. It's not a full paisley, but it's very similar.
It's almost like camo.
It's even a floral print. And these look like two ties that my dad has. And they just flattened out the ties,
right,
and sewed it together.
I didn't notice
that. Especially because, near paisley, that brown paisley is all the way around the back, and then there is a 6-inch diagonal striping of that in the front, and then there is another diagonal, again in this like sweeping pattern that he always does, of the vertical stripes, and then there's that
you turned it horizontal this time.
Yeah, then you turn it horizontal. And then there's that uneven hemline, which that's cool. That's pushing the boundaries. It's just so short. And then we have the brown and teal floral coming to a point. And that's the dress. Like, he made it very quickly. I think the fit is off a little bit on it. This, to me, it wasn't cohesive between the rope and this, and maybe I'm seeing it too literally, but I thought he was out. Like, I thought this was a bottom look for sure, and this is something that I wouldn't be caught dead near. So our last looks come from Cornelius, and Cornelius's unconventional materials challenge is a high collar tank dress right above the knee. He created these, I guess they're kind of like a flower burst, you could say, out of plastic cups that he spray painted.
Mm-hmm.
And so he used several different, so they're kind of like layered. And the primary color that you get is a bright yellow, but he's also has little, like, it's also spray painted silver. I think maybe a metallic, a dark metallic gold maybe. And then there's black underneath. So, you know, kind of a lot of different colors. It looks like everyone used, not everyone, but a lot of people used the same red strappy heel. And then at the neck, at the collar, he used sunflower seeds to kind of create, you know, more detailing. This doesn't feel high fashion. It feels more like a craft project. It's a very simple silhouette. It's very, you know, the cups kind of create this 3D floral effect, but it's it doesn't feel very high fashion at all.
I would agree with that, and that he didn't really do enough with the unconventional materials, but I did like this dress. I thought that the 3D effect of those flowers was cool. I thought he did a great job of mixing up the sizes and the placement of everything. And I thought that birdseed neck, the embellishment, was a good touch as well.
Mm-hmm. It was smart. For his conventional materials look, he created a short sleeve jumpsuit, you know, romper jumpsuit sort of thing. It looked really, really good. Like, it was very well made. He used this gold embellishment on the sleeves. So they're a little bit longer sleeves, not quite to the elbow, but they're very sleek. And I can't really tell necessarily what these gold embellishments are, but I know he purchased like maybe a yard of fabric and kind of cut them out and then sewed it on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good look and a good fit. It's wide legs, so they're kind of like culottes for the bottom, but it's very sleek, and this is high fashion. He should have put up her hair so that you could see more of the embellishments, because her hair is kind of shoulder length, but this was effective, and the embroidery really just elevated it.
I did like this as well. It was pretty plain, but it was very, very well made. I thought that maybe it would have looked better as like a slim-legged jumpsuit,
mm-hmm.
because with it being black, the pant legs are so wide that sometimes it just looks like it's a dress,
mm-hmm.
which I think that takes it down a little bit. You know, had he made it a dress, it would have been just like, oh, okay, well, that's just a pretty simple dress. But since it is a jumpsuit, it, you know, that's kind of adding a little bit to it. So I think it should have been more obvious that it was a jumpsuit.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I mean, I thought this looked very, very clean and very well made.
So what's your guess for winner and out?
I think that Cornelius is going to win, and I think Robbery is going home.
My guess for winning is Laurence, and I have Robbery as out.
So we have everybody out on the runway, and each individual's models come out as the judges give them their critiques. Laurence's looks are up first, and everybody thought that the unconventional materials look was very well done. Nina loved the play between hard and soft in this look, and she thought it was even hard to tell that it was Laurence's look,
mm-hmm.
in the first place. As for the conventional materials look, most everybody liked it. They liked the color combination and how it alluded to the unconventional materials look. They liked the open back, but both Zach and Heidi found the dress to be a little boring.
Mm-hmm. And Heidi said she didn't like either of them.
Yeah.
Because she thought it looked too much like a German beer wench, and I right. hate to call it that, but I forget what it's really called.
Yeah, I forgot what she said, too. And yeah. then Zach made a point that I saw, too. It was just like, it was a little costumey. It was like Xena Warrior Princess. And I was like, yeah, that's with that shoulder, definitely I could see that.
With Rick's looks, the judges, you know, they really liked his unconventional look, but there's a lot of aspects that they didn't like overall. Zach didn't like the bottom. All the judges pretty much unanimously thought that the conventional look lacked personality. It seemed unfinished and juvenile, especially because he tried to add an edge to it by ripping the tweed and showing the leather underneath. And Heidi said it was boring. She wouldn't really remember either of these looks, you know, beyond that day. So she's kind of being really tough out the gate on this judging.
Yeah, and Nina said that she couldn't tell the difference between the unconventional mm-hmm. materials and the conventional material dresses, which I think in this case, she did not mean that as a compliment.
Yeah.
Robbery's look is next, and everyone is very impressed with his unconventional materials dress. They definitely thought it was gutsy, and they were really proud of him for taking a chance on this and going for it, and they liked how it looked as well anyway.
Yeah.
And they all really, really liked his conventional materials dress as Shocking. Well. They saw the link between the two with the sweeping patterns in both looks.
Yeah, Nina said that they both looked polished and organic. And I was surprised that she thought that rope dress
yeah.
looked polished. But everyone just had high praise for these yeah. looks.
So. And that's kind of what I thought. It was either going to be a hit or a miss. There mm-hmm. was going to be no in-between for that unconventional materials dress.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that they would really see the effort that he put into it and that he took such a huge chance in at the point where you have to do that.
Right. The judges talked about Aaron's looks next. Zach really loved both. He felt like she transformed these looks. The texture was incredible. Heidi was a big fan. She thought the jumpsuit was simple but cool. Everyone but Nina said that they would wear it. Nina was not impressed by that conventional look. She No. just said it was too simple. You know, the print wasn't enough to push this to high fashion. She thought it looked kind of like pajamas a little bit, which I agreed with that. But everyone was impressed with Aaron.
Yeah, they really liked the play and textures on her unconventional materials mm-hmm. dress. And they all liked that nothing was boring
yeah.
with either of her looks. Finally, we get to Cornelius. And they loved the 3D texture of his unconventional materials dress. They would have liked to see a little more on the back of the dress.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely has a lot less going on the back than on the front. Nina wanted to see more creation in general. She thought that both were a little too simple. But everybody really was surprised by his conventional materials look.
Mm-hmm.
In that they hadn't seen anything like this from him before. And I don't think they had ever seen the construction quality
yeah.
of this level from him before Very either. Different. Which I would disagree with because of his winning look
was yeah, of impeccably constructed. Dress. Yeah, the judges loved the conventional look. Heidi really liked both. Zach thought that the unconventional look was too arts and crafts, though. So we have a lot of differing opinions here with this panel.
Mm-hmm.
And after the judging, I was really nervous for Laurence. You know, she had praise from some, but Heidi didn't like either, and that didn't seem to bode well.
Yeah, it was, I mean, they definitely picked out flaws in everybody's looks, mm-hmm. and I think this, and I mean, it was probably edited this way just to give it more drama for it being the final challenge before Fashion Week. This was probably the first week where I had no idea who was winning, who mm-hmm. was going home, anything like that, because the judging was so even across the board for mm-hmm. everybody.
We don't get a lot more information on the leanings of the judges during the closer look. You know, I think we get kind of the same sort of commentary that we got during the primary judging. What I found disappointing is that there was not the exercise that there typically is at this point in the competition, in which the judges ask each contestant why they should go on to New York Fashion Week. There was no kind of impassioned plea and speech and proving to the judges why they should continue on. And I kind of just was even more pissed, because I figured it's because they spent so much time hawking the Best Western stuff that they had to cut it out.
Right. One issue I had throughout the show, during the judging and into the closer looks, was they absolutely beat up all the designers on their conventional materials looks and how plain they were,
mm-hmm.
when I don't know what else they were going to expect.
Yeah.
When you throw in the second look after the designers have already planned 2 days to go into their unconventional materials look,
mm-hmm.
like Robbery, for example. I think the point of adding that second challenge in was to push the designers to make adjustments more than they have before. Mm-hmm. They do that all the time. They do that week to week after Tim comes in and says, maybe you should change this a little bit, tweak it here, things like that, so that what we see in the design room is a lot different than what we see when it comes out on the runway. But I think this challenge was meant to push that another step and completely, you know, throw the designers for a loop.
Mm-hmm.
So it was supposed to make them adjust their unconventional materials look to give them time to really make a good conventional materials look.
Mm-hmm.
But in some of the designers' cases, especially Robbery, there was no adjusting. Like,
right.
He was either making that dress or he had nothing.
Right.
So it wasn't really fair to the designers not only to have this second thing thrown at them, but for them to be judged so harshly on it as well. Because you could tell with everybody's second look that it was very, very simple. It was something that just got thrown together because they probably made all of those in like 2 hours, an hour and a half, an hour, somewhere in
there. And we don't know what time all this is happening, but they had to have less than 24 hours with that, because they had to go to Mood. You know, they do take breaks to eat, you know,
right.
which understandable. Like, I think they're working 12-hour days. They have to be working something like a 12-hour day if they're getting into the workroom at, you know, 10 or so, maybe, and they don't leave there till midnight, so maybe they take an hour break sort of thing once
right.
or twice, but that's a lot. But that's not enough time to finish up these unconventional materials look, which require a lot more than just sewing, you know, the regular fabric. And so, yeah, it was frustrating to kind of get that from the judges. You know, I was frustrated too that they didn't show more discussion after the closer look.
Yeah.
You know, they went straight to, you know, naming off the winner and going through in or out. And so I just, overall, I am disappointed in this episode as the penultimate episode to New York Fashion Week.
Right. So, since it is the final episode before Fashion Week, we don't get the, you know, tops and bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn that Robbery is the winner of this challenge. Mm-hmm. So Robbery is on to New York Fashion Week and is just going to live it up in style for 50 nights in Best Westerns.
Yeah.
After that, we learn that Aaron is in, Laurence is in, so it is now down to Rick and Cornelius for the final spot in New York Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
And that spot will go to Rick. So for the second time this season, Cornelius is being sent home.
Yeah, I do feel bad for Cornelius because I do think that he had a lot of growth and he really kind of transformed as a designer. I kind of thought that it really could have gone either way between Rick and Cornelius. It was kind of down to a coin toss. And I thought that Cornelius's jumpsuit could have pushed him over the edge a little bit, especially because there didn't seem to be that universal praise for either Rick's looks.
Right.
But no go.
I thought that Cornelius's, I mean, like I said earlier, I thought that Cornelius was going to win. So I thought that his total competence on both of his designs was going to push him through. Because neither one of them was that great, but mm-hmm. neither one of them was that bad either. So yeah. I thought that would push him through. But he is going home. So we have four designers left.
Yeah.
Let's power rank them.
Okay. My number four is Rick. I've said this many times. You know with Rick you're going to get black. I think mm-hmm. we've seen black probably the past 4 or 5 weeks from him. I'm having trouble immediately recalling all of them, but I know that definitely it's been the past 3 weeks. You're going to get some sort of, like, he has an edgy aesthetic, kind of a punk sort of look. That's not necessarily my taste, but I think sometimes that he has trouble executing. You know, his lows can be somewhat low, and I don't know what a full collection of that is gonna look like.
Yeah, I agree with you pretty much with everything. Rick is also my number four. Not 100% sure what we're going to see from him.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely has the ability to make very, very good designs. So I think he's definitely a wild card.
Yeah,
in that he could really knock it out of the park, but I don't think he's going to fall flat on his face either, to the point to where it's going to be like, what if Cornelius was here?
Right. And one of the things with a full collection is you have to have different silhouettes. You have to have pants in there. Sometimes people throw in shorts, but you know, I should probably go back and look at everyone's designs up to this point, because really all I can think about from Rick is that same silhouette where it's kind of just a tank cocktail dress.
Right.
Really. I don't, you know, he did really well in that swimsuit challenge, I do recall, but even his blacklight challenge that was so poor was a tank cocktail length dress.
Right.
You know, so I am leery of how well he can execute pants, for example.
Yep.
So
my number three is Aaron.
Okay.
Aaron is definitely charging at the right time when it looked like she was dead in the water.
Yeah.
She has put together, what, 3 or 4 straight really good looks.
Mm-hmm.
Probably was pretty close to winning this week. So yeah, she is definitely peaking at the right time.
I have Robri as my number three. I have now kind of mixed feelings on Robri, just especially with the last 2 weeks. I'm kind of maybe coming to the conclusion that he's a one-trick pony sort of guy. Maybe he can only do this sort of swooping, angular sort of design. And at first it was really, really pretty. But now that I've seen it in many different iterations, including a rope dress, I am not as sure. And I, like I said, I just didn't get it. And so I don't personally want to see an entire collection of that swooping angular sort of look. My number two is Erin. Like you said, Erin is definitely peaking at the right time. I think she's gotten her confidence back. We've said this before. Can she kind of edit herself and not over design? And with the just entire world of materials and ideas and things open to her, I wonder if that could be too overwhelming
right.
with the collection.
Right. I have Robri as my number two.
Mm-hmm.
He said something in this episode after it was announced that he was the winner that he has been thinking about his final collection ever since he got the confirmation that he was going to be on this show. I think that of everybody that is left, Robri has the best vision. I think that he can put together looks that no one else would even think of. I mean, look, just his rope dress thing tonight, I think, is the perfect example of that, in that while it may not have turned out how he really wanted it, or finished for that matter, no one else, I don't think anybody else would have taken that chance or even thought to do that.
Sure.
So I think that he could make some very beautiful outfits, and I am really excited to see what he can come up with when he is not put in the constraints of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like we both have Laurence as our number one.
Right. Not as high of a number one as she has been in the past few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Both Robri and Erin, in my mind, have closed the gap on her a little bit. But part of me thinks that she's bored.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that she is done doing these challenges. I think she is ready to just work and make clothes that she really likes. So I think we are going to see the Laurence that we saw in the middle of this season, where she was just dominating
mm-hmm.
and making just absolutely beautiful outfits, impeccably tailored, and we're going to get to see an entire collection of that.
Right. I am really excited for that. Because I think, and I'm not 100% sure, I can't immediately recall, I think it's something like 6 weeks and $2,000 is what they have to create this. And they can go hog wild. I mean, I think I recall someone did like 3D applique stuff. Someone did crazy hats. Last year there was the floral headband. So
mm-hmm.
people can go all out on this stuff. I mean, they've given enough advertising time this season, so maybe they're going to get a bigger budget.
Right.
But I mean, it'll be incredible. I'm not really sure how we'll do our show for next week. Because next week will be the sort of check-ins with the four designers. Tim will go to each of their home bases to where they're making the collections and give his critiques and meet their families and things like that.
Right. Hopefully there is enough content in next week's episode that we can at least do maybe a short 30 to 45 minute podcast just so we're not making a gigantic two-plus-hour podcast after the final episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume we will be able to get another podcast out this week. So with that said, do you have anything to add?
I don't. Get ready for New York Fashion Week.
All right. So we will see you guys later this week. Auf Wiedersehen.